AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final 3 days away from Super Bowl 59. It is a Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Joe. I am Ben. We continue to break down Super Bowl Sunday from each and every angle. We'll hear from the public. We'll talk the prop perspective with TV Tom Vecchio. And then we'll say adieu to football for at least one more day before our final Football Friday of this season comes your way tomorrow, because today is also NBA trade deadline day, 3 p.m. Eastern time, now just about 5 hours away. We have already seen blockbuster deal after blockbuster deal after blockbuster deal in the previous 4 days around the association. Might there be some more on this deadline day? We're looking at you, Phoenix, to see if anything happens. But Joe, so much to get into. NBA trade deadline rumors, what it means for the rest of this season in the NBA, past the midway point of this campaign, and then we'll handicap some actual basketball games on this Thursday evening as well.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good slate here tonight, not only in the association, but certainly college basketball will be at the forefront again tonight here, Ben, with a little Big Ten action and some late night West Coast action too. So looking forward to it.
Some great games out on the West Coast in the WCC. St. Mary's unbeaten on the road this year, 6-0. They'll head to USF to take on the Dons. We'll talk about that game in just a little bit. But we're trying to get some more knowledge for Super Bowl 59. And of course, Joe, as we do on a daily basis, we want to hear from the people. Do we agree? Can we fade them? Can we see where the market is moving according to how the public is seeing it? Of course, nothing more public perhaps in the biggest football game of a season than the total. Do we want points? Are we thinking it's an offensive grind out affair? Let's hear from the people right now and fade the public. So part of the issue is you kind of want a decisive win in the fade the public poll. You kind of want a lot of votes, a majority of the public at least, on one side or the other, so you can determine, hey, I agree with the people, or ooh, that's spicy given what the market is saying. Let me fade the public. Joe, as of this moment, exactly 100 votes in our Fade the Public poll on Sports Grid. Will Super Bowl 59 go over or under the current betting total of 48.5? Oh, 101. And now we do have a winner. But as you will see there, it's pretty much a toss-up. Literally seconds ago, there was exactly 100 votes, and it was a 50-50 split on the over and the under, 50 aside. Still, it's basically a toss-up whichever way you look at it. Joe, I really thought we were going to see the public decide one way or the other, and thus we could fade the public if we felt necessary. Not really the case. Basically, a 50-50 split is what the public is saying for our over-under Sunday, 48.5 points.
Yeah, but I think if this poll was a little bit closer to kickoff, Ben, I think we'd have a different result here right now. I think as we get closer to Friday and Saturday, if you ask that question again, pretty sure the public would be favoring a over because, let's face it, who wants to watch absolutely no scoring and get what we got, what, years ago there with the Rams and the Patriots? Remember, that was supposed to be one of the greatest high-scoring Super Bowls, and next thing you know, it was like 13-3, and we're like, what in the world is going on here? Public doesn't want that. They want it over. I happen to think there's a middle ground here. I don't believe we're getting a high-scoring game, but I still think the game is going to be extremely entertaining, but under for me in this one.
Listen, unders can be entertaining, even if it's not 35-31 or 38-35 like the last time we saw the Birds and the Chiefs battle it out for the Lombardi Trophy. It can still be a very close game, 21-20, 24-21, single score game. We have seen enough scoring and not necessarily an absolute slugfest on the defensive side of the football. Of course, that was Super Bowl 53. February 2019, the Patriots outlasting the Rams 13-3, winning by 10 points. Total for that game, 55.5. The second highest total we have seen in the last seven Super Bowls. And of course, it was never even under a threat. Closing total in most of the marketplace, 50-51 for Super Bowl 57, the last time we saw Philadelphia face off against Kansas City. It opened around our current number of 48.5. It was, in fact, the only Super Bowl we have seen pushed to the over in the last six. That's it. Super Bowl 57, our last over. Again, I have shared often, I don't know if I feel comfortable betting the under. I'm not so sure I will get to the window to bet or wager on the over by the time we get to Sunday either. I just don't feel like there is a huge edge in terms of the total, given the fact, Joe, that I think both teams will get into the 20s, and thus am I really going to be sweating things out. As we shared earlier in the show, breaking down Super Bowl 59, quarter by quarter, half by half, the Eagles, the best second half scoring team in the National Football League this year, leading the NFL in scoring in both the third and fourth quarters. Kansas City has reached this Super Bowl stage once again because of their defense. 7 years with Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback in Kansas City. Joe, the first five, KC was at least in the top six in NFL scoring offensive ranks, averaging 28.5 points per game at bare minimum. Last 2 years, as you will see, averaging just 22.6 points per game this year. That's 13th in the NFL. Last year, they were 12th, a little bit better than 23 points per game. Much more middle of the pack where Kansas City has been this season and even a year ago.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because this is by far statistically, interestingly enough, one of the worst scoring Chiefs offenses that we have seen. But it's crazy because they've taken in the postseason 58% of their drives into the red zone, Ben. That is the best offense and those best numbers in any postseason since 2003. The problem is, while they're so good at getting into the red zone, you know what they're not good at? Scoring touchdowns and putting the ball in the end zone. And that is actually the worst it's been under Andy Reid this season. So while they move the ball really well and they get inside the 20, once they get there, Ben, it's not an automatic touchdown, which I think has people questioning whether or not it's going to be much more field goals, much more defense than it is some sort of high scoring game.
And of course, we talked about the kicker props yesterday, the points prop for Harrison Butker, 7.5. The over has the juice. Jake Elliott, 6.5 on the other side. Even total field goals attempted, 1.5 for Butker, 1.5 for Elliott, both with pretty hefty juice on the over. I still think I'm going to be looking at the over 47.5 for longest field goal made. And that's right now the under having the juice at minus 126. How about both teams to make a 33-yard field goal or longer? Yes, minus 108. Maybe that's an area we look. We'll talk prompt TV Tom next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You might be able to consider this the final prop perspective of this 2024 NFL season, now in the calendar month of February 2025, which means we turn one final time to the jack of all trades. He'll still be here, of course, throughout the remainder of basically every week on the early line of the jack of all trades, TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, for his official Super Bowl 59 prop card. We will get to all of that a little bit later on in this segment. It's been locked. It's been loaded for a couple of days, if not over a week now. So, Tom, we are very glad to have you here one final time in the anticipation of Super Bowl 59 on TEL.
Yeah, I'm ready for this game to finally happen, from the post-game show that I did after the conference games that Sunday night to all the preview shows. I will be in studio for the Super Bowl, for the pregame show, the halftime show, and the post-game show. Let's get to it for one final time this season.
Let's get to it, Vecchio. Indeed, that makes three of us for guys that are actually ready for the football game to kick off on Sunday evening. Vecchio, the numbers have not changed all that much on FanDuel, a couple of cents here and there on the money line, but really remained steady the last 72 hours or so. Still a point and a half in favor of KC. 48 and a half is that total. Maybe some people haven't been tuning in all week and a half long in the Super Bowl buildup for this matchup in Super Bowl 59 between the Chiefs and the Eagles. So, Vecchio, remind the viewers, the audience perhaps, how you see the game flow playing out on Sunday in New Orleans.
Yeah, so I guess the way I'll summarize it now, and this is something that's been building really over the number of shows that I've done, is I think my final takeaway is going to be first half under, second half over. I think that's how we're going to see things go. You know, I don't want to look back like too specifically at what we saw when these teams played a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, but you know, there was a lot of scoring pretty consistently throughout. We saw a little bit of lack of scoring from the Chiefs in their most recent Super Bowl. So I'm going to say we're going to be somewhere in between, where the teams start off pretty scripted, we get a decent amount of scoring, but things pick up in the second half. So that's why I've constantly stated, you know, I'm going to be really interested in a live total just for the game overall. Like I've always said, like, you know, 41, 42, you know, you were talking in the previous segment, do you love the total? Where are you going to end up? Are you going to actually get embedded? But because you don't want to be sweating things out, like an over 42 would be an awesome spot to be if you're getting in live.
Tom, it's interesting. We got one team who is going to run the ball because that's what they do in Philadelphia. And you got one team in Kansas City who will dink and dunk you to death up and down the field, and 13, 14, 15 play drives are not a problem. So what, something's got to give here. Let's start with Kansas City. Given what we know about Mahomes and the offense here, how are we looking at it from a prop betting perspective?
Yeah, like you said, like this is what Kansas City does. And, you know, kind of my theory or my thesis for this game from the Kansas City side is that like rubber meets the road finally, and it's time to put up. And that means the ball is going to be in Mahomes' hands. And that means Mahomes over 35 and a half passing attempts. And we didn't see him go over this number the first two playoff games this year, but we saw him go over this number in 9 of the last 10 regular season games. And I just don't think they have a solid base when it comes to the running back room. And as you can see there, you know, I like Pacheco under 6.5 attempts. I do think Kareem Hunt is the answer in the backfield. I think he is the better back at this point for Kansas City, and he will have some success on the ground, but ultimately just get the ball into Mahomes' hands, and you want to ride or die with that essentially. Like you don't want to go down saying like, oh, you know, we should have given Mahomes more passing attempts. Like that is a bad thing to say at the end of the day if they were to lose this game. So just give the ball to Mahomes and let it happen.
Has not thrown the ball more than 26 times in a game throughout this postseason run. But a Super Bowl, of course, is very different, especially against one of the best defenses in the NFL all year long in Philadelphia. So that's the perspective from the Chiefs, both with Mahomes through the air, utilizing his legs, as you saw there, 28 and a half and under the attempts prop for Isaiah Pacheco. Vecchio, let's talk about maybe the star of this game in Philadelphia, Saquon Barkley. 21.5 carries, 109.5 rushing yards, 12.5 receiving yards, minus 190, the best price of any player in Super Bowl 59 to find Pater. Maybe the casual football fan, the Super Bowl bettor, is looking at this game and they say, well, Saquon Barkley has been generational this year. He's at least going to have 125 yards. How do you advise that casual bettor to wager on Saquon Barkley come Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, the spot would be to go to over 23.5 for his longest rush attempt, which I certainly don't mind. And the receiving yards is something that not everyone talks about because he doesn't always play a consistent role. But, you know, getting the ball into his hands, especially if we do see the Eagles playing from behind, again, all it takes is one missed tackle for him to go over this in literally one catch. And that could be helpful when it comes to the combined rushing plus receiving. But that rushing total alone is a little bit too much for me. The rushing attempts is just a little bit too much for me. So I don't mind the longest rush. Again, we've seen him break off these huge runs this season, and then turning to the receiving next.
So what about the receivers of the Eagles? Obviously, Barkley is going to have his opportunities to impact the game, but what about the wide receivers? Who would you focus on?
So I don't know if I've been convincing myself of this too much, but I really like Devonta Smith, really like him. So the Eagles, we know they want to run the ball. Casey knows that. They have to do what they can to stop Saquon. A.J. Brown's like this sleeping giant waiting to explode for these deep passes. Dallas Goedert has been awesome to start the postseason, and I talked about him for a touchdown earlier. Throughout the regular season, Kansas City allowed the most receiving yards to opposing tight ends and the second most receptions. So if Andy Reid knows, like, hey, we have defensively been bad against tight ends. We know we have to stop Saquon. A.J. Brown's this threat on the outside. Someone's going to get lost in the shuffle, and that could be Devonta Smith, and I think there's a real big opening for him in this game.
So how do you approach Devonta Smith? Is it his yardage prop on the rise to 50 and a hook, or is it his total receptions?
It would be the receptions. Yeah, I forgot to add that. It'd be the receptions over 4.5. Like, get those quick passes out to him, move the ball, pick up first downs. I think that is a path for the Eagles as well.
A little bit of plus money on the over, by the way, for Devonta Smith, over 4.5 receptions. Both Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown, also 4.5 grabs, but the over has the juice. All right, let's put it up one final time. You can consider this TV Tom Vecchio's official Super Bowl 59 prop board. Right there on your screen. Mahomes over 35.5 attempts. Mahomes over 28.5 rushing yards. Isaiah Pacheco under 6.5 carries. And Devonta Smith over 4.5 catches. Tom Vecchio, we appreciate the time always. We'll be talking very soon. More on the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is NBA trade deadline day around the association, 3 p.m. Eastern time, about 4.5 hours away from that deadline in the NBA. We have already seen a wild deadline week, if you will, starting in the very first minutes of Sunday. We have seen it continue each and every day, basically, in a flurry of moves on the eve of NBA trade deadline day last night. We can recap those, of course. We can talk about the most impactful. But, Joe, I think it's very fair to say that this NBA trade deadline week has been one of the most hectic, chaotic, dramatic, seismic that we have seen in the association, at least in recent memory.
And the big question is, Ben, what is it all going to mean when it's all said and done? Because the teams that we still think are favorite to win everything, they weren't desperate. They didn't do anything crazy. They've built the team the right way. And is anybody going to beat Oklahoma City? Is anybody going to beat the Boston? So none of the teams that we think are real contenders did anything crazy. It seems to have been everyone else at this point.
Joe, there are six teams right now with a 15-1 number to win this year's Larry O'Brien Trophy. That, of course, an NBA championship. Five of those six teams did not do a darn thing at the deadline. Those five teams on the left side: Celtics, Thunder, Cavs, Knicks, Nuggets. everybody in-house and already on the roster to make what every organization is hoping is that deep playoff run. The most movement we have seen, and perhaps the most moves overall, that would be the LA Lakers. The acquisition of Luka Doncic, and last night adding the big man in Mark Williams in his third year out of Duke, played the first part of his career in Charlotte, now makes his way to the City of Angels. We anticipate Luka Doncic making his return to the floor in his Lakers debut on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. And we saw a ton of movement for the Lakers. I believe the number was 40-1 for Los Angeles to win the NBA championship entering this weekend. Is that correct, Joe Friso? Heard you in my earpiece there. It is correct. Thank you very much. 29-19 is the Lakers' record. They have won three straight, eight of their last 10. Sitting in a good spot, Joe. Not like a play-in contender. Fifth spot, and pretty solidly so right now in the Western Conference standings. But what other moves might we expect to see on this deadline day? A name we thought might be shipped out of the valley, Kevin Durant, where we sat here yesterday around this time. Could he be the blockbuster player on the move? Not necessarily Jimmy Butler, or maybe in a Jimmy Butler deal. A potential reunion in San Francisco for KD was floated. And then what was floated yesterday by reports is that Durant had zero desire to return to Golden State and basically squashed a potential deal that was in place. We expect, Joe, that over the next 4.5 hours, Kevin Durant will not be traded by the Suns, and he will remain in Phoenix. Do you think that is going to be the case by the time 3:01 p.m. Eastern time comes and the deadline is passed?
Yeah, I can't see Durant going anywhere. And again, the fact that he has the power to 86 any sort of deal to Golden State tells you that the amount of suitors in which he would approve a deal for are very limited to begin with. And with the amount of money that he is making, you know, there has to be some sort of even swap there. And the only teams that would be able to afford that are teams that aren't competing for a postseason. So the chances of him landing anywhere, I think, are slim to none. He would have been one of the first names off the trade deadline I think they were serious about moving him. But at this point, Phoenix is what they are, and they're going to have to make do with what they got.
I think that's a really good point, Joe, that the deal that seemingly was in place perhaps to send Kevin Durant back to the Warriors, if it was going to happen, it already would have happened, and KD seemed to be the person that stood in the way of that getting done. Is there going to be another suitor that makes a deal with Phoenix? Perhaps not at this point. Might Bradley Beal remain in the valley by the time we get to the deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern time? He has a no-trade clause that he would have to waive, seemingly going to remain with the Suns. The Pelicans, now in full rebuild mode, might CJ McCollum be on the move. The Nets are always trading and tanking, it seems, the last few years. So thus, you see Nick Claxton and Cam Johnson, Nikola Vucevic, and Kobe White with the Chicago Bulls. There is a thought the Bulls need to blow the whole thing up, and they finally traded away Zach LaVine, might we see some more moves? We'll continue this discussion on deadline day in the NBA up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is trade deadline day in the association. 3 p.m. Eastern time, the official trade deadline during the 2024-25 campaign. It has already been a very long and chaotic, but rather seismic and impactful deadline week around the NBA. Let's go back to the on the block question mark graphic. We talked about Bradley Beal would have to waive a no-trade clause. It is seeming more and more likely that both Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal remain in Phoenix. Joe, if you were to look at the other names on this board, the other five guys listed there, who do you think is most likely to be moved here on deadline day?
The Nets are interesting given the fact that where are they going? They're going nowhere quick. And anybody that is going to be due for any sort of new contract or pay raise is probably off and running. I think CJ McCollum is interesting as well. Does he end up staying with New Orleans, or are they just going complete rebuild? They certainly have enough shooting now, but it's unfortunate it didn't work out with Zion and Brandon Ingram. And Coby White with the Bulls, I think, is fantastic. I think he'd be, he would actually help some of these teams looking to bolster to make a run here. But with the Bulls, you just don't know. I mean, they're not going to spend any money. They have shown you they are more interested in tanking than doing anything else. So you got to look at those teams like the Nets and the Bulls, who are more than happy just to erase dollars off the books, Ben, and start from scratch. And that's kind of exactly the direction they're heading.
Yeah, I think so. And Joe, I think it would make a lot of sense in Chicago to really take this thing down and then build it back up. They've kind of been in this weird limbo purgatory type area where they've kept big contracts like DeMar DeRozan, like Zach LaVine, to only move on from them. Nikola Vucevic would seem attractive to a contending team to have a consistent front court presence for a guy that basically averages a double-double each and every night. But they did just sign an extension with Lonzo Ball yesterday. Two-year deal, $20 million. The Bulls are in a tough spot. When Jerry Reinsdorf is your owner, see the White Sox in the Bulls, this is what you get. It's unfortunate in Chicago at this moment. I also do believe, Joe, as we showed the NBA championship odds, today is an important pin day, if you will, to flag these odds, to pay attention to these odds, to put a pin in these odds, to use it as a date to see where the market moves in the second half of this season. And that's where we are, just a few weeks away from NBA All-Star Weekend. I believe just 2 weeks away from NBA All-Star Weekend. To note where these odds right now, maybe you're starting to pay more attention to the NBA, basketball in general. The football season winds down to its final game of the year on Sunday evening. We are not at 40 or 42 games, even near the midway point. Most teams have played 48, 49, 50, 50-plus games at this moment. There's only about 30-plus games remaining in this regular season to make that playoff charge, to be in the top six in a conference, to not have to deal with the play-in tournament, to be a top four seed, to host the opening round of the postseason. And maybe you are on the outside looking in, just trying to get to the play-in tournament, to have an opportunity to win a game or two to see the NBA postseason. These are very important odds to note at this moment. But Joe, the story still, despite the flurry of blockbuster moves we have seen this week, is the Celtics and the Thunder remain at the top by themselves, with the Cavaliers and 41 wins still having the best mark in all of the NBA.
Yeah, and nothing changes for me as far as the teams who I think are truly capable of putting a run together and winning this. All the rest of the teams that we have seen make some moves here and try to add pieces or, they're public favorites right now. I mean, yeah. The Lakers at 15-1 is quite laughable at this point. Given what they've added, and without any indication that any of it is going to work together, Ben. That's the funny part, is that a 40-year-old LeBron James and a 25-year-old Doncic who can't seem to stay in shape long enough to get anything done. Now you add in a new center, and miraculously, this is just supposed to work with limited games remaining. It's just not how it works here. I think teams like the Knicks, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, they are very much, if you're looking for a dark horse or a big number, those teams to me seem much more viable than any of these teams that are just throwing one last ditch effort to try and make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. We talked about the five teams on your left, Denver and LA, same price to win a championship at 15-1. The Nuggets in the four spot, the Lakers in the five spot in the Western Conference standings. But those five teams on the left did not make a seismic trade, did not alter their franchise or their rotation here at the deadline. The Lakers are probably first and foremost the team that we would all focus on at 15-1. We will see how successful Luka Doncic, LeBron James, maybe even Mark Williams, the newly acquired center, can be in LA right away. The Bucks made a franchise-altering move, trading away Chris Middleton. Was he overly productive this season or the last few years? No. Had he been there the longest alongside Giannis? Yes, for 12 years. A face of the franchise, an NBA champion in Milwaukee. The Grizzlies, still right there in the Western Conference standings. Second best record, 35-16. Now 2.5 games clear of the Rockets, by the way. Houston has dropped 4 in a row. The Clippers, they're fine. The Warriors, that big move, of course, last night in the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. The number to win an NBA championship for the Dubs entering this week was 100-1. It has been slashed in half and then some. Same for the Western Conference championship price as well. But, Joe, it's still 45-1. It's still 10th best in the NBA. The Warriors would not even be a play-in tournament team if the season ended today right now in the Western Conference. I think Jimmy Butler makes the Dubs a better team. I think they will at least be in the play-in tournament with the opportunity to see the actual NBA playoffs. Am I like, yep, Golden State, going to do it again. Going to win the West, going to win an NBA championship? Absolutely not.
No, but they are better. I mean, listen, I think the Golden State Warriors had a decision to make. The fact that they offered Jimmy a two-year, $120 million extension, which is laughable given Jimmy Butler's age, his conditioning problems, staying healthy, availability, plus he can very well become a cancer in the locker room. But basically what the Warriors decided, Ben, that was, listen, we got Steph, we got Draymond, the cornerstones of this franchise for all these years. We can either go quietly into the night, not make the playoffs, and that's the end of that, and we blow it up and start from scratch, or we can roll the dice, bring in a guy like Jimmy Butler, and let's see what happens here. Once you're in it, anything is possible with Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and now if playoff Jimmy shows up, the Warriors are very dangerous.
So that is the hope, right? You are hoping playoff Jimmy is there for the final 30-plus games of this year to be a play-in tournament team to make a run, perhaps just right into the postseason. Right now, Golden State is 25-25. Same exact records as Sacramento and Phoenix, but because of a couple of tiebreakers, they would be on the outside of the play-in tournament looking in. But you can tell they are right in the mix. Even Dallas, Joe, at 26-25 in the eighth spot, is just a half game in front of all three of those teams, the Kings, the Suns, and the Warriors. If you're in that 7-8 matchup in the play-in tournament, you need just one win. Even if you lose that game, you need just one win to beat the winner of the 9-10 game to see the Western Conference or Eastern Conference postseason. Maybe the price you want to bet on for Golden State, if you want to just hammer down on Golden State being a playoff team, plus 136 to see playoff Jimmy in the actual playoffs and, of course, throughout the end of this regular season. We'll get to the action in the NBA on deadline day. Game next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get to some action around the association on deadline day. We'll see if guys we expect to be in lineups and rotations will be there by 3 p.m. Eastern time. A good slate around the NBA, some very intriguing games. 6 at last count that we have on this Thursday night, including an NBA Finals rematch that maybe loses a little bit of its luster with the trades we have seen throughout this week. That, of course, features the Dallas Mavericks. Anthony Davis not back out on the floor just yet. No Luka Doncic anymore for the Mavs, but we will see Kyrie Irving visiting his former home inside TD Garden. Double-digit spread in favor of the Celtics, total 229.5. Joe, will the Finals rematch tonight in Beantown be as lopsided as the odds expect?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Dallas numbers here, it has not been good, especially as of late. I mean, just since they traded Doncic, they've given up 262 points in two games. So you got to wonder, with Boston coming off a three-game road trip, In which, listen, they had to fight and claw their way to a couple of wins there, especially right. They had to hold on in Cleveland. They had to have a huge comeback against Philly. Don't forget about that New Orleans game as well. It's been rough sledding here for them. So once again, trying to lay double digits with Boston at home, man, that's a risky proposition here. There's no way that Kyrie and company are going to want to come into this game and get embarrassed here. And quite honestly, I don't trust the Celtics enough. First game back home off a long, tough road trip. I don't trust them to do anything other than just win this game. Certainly don't think this is going to be a win by, 15, 20 points by any stretch.
What is so fascinating, Joe, about Boston, winners of four straight for the third time this year as an underdog, the victory over the Cavaliers in a game we expect to be a potential Eastern Conference Finals preview earlier this week, is that the Celtics have already played 51 games. Again, as we shared, just because the deadline is happening right now and All-Star Weekend is 2 weeks away, not the midway point of this NBA season, 51 games. For the reigning champs, and they are 36-15. They have been booked as a favorite in 48 of those 51 games. So they have been a double digit favorite in 21 of those 48 games. Boston has been more frequently a double digit favorite than a single digit favorite this year overall as the favorite side, 19-28-1 against the spread. What will the Mavericks have on this Thursday night in Beantown as they await the return of Anthony Davis? Do we know if Caleb Martin is making his Dallas debut tonight? No props listed just yet for the Mavericks outside of Kyrie Irving, his number 24.5 today against the Seas. Big California clash out there in Southern California between the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers. 7.5-point spread in favor of LA, total 222. No Luka Doncic just yet. We expect that to come our way on Saturday. But LeBron James, nearly a triple-double earlier this week, Joe, in the crosstown matchup against the Clippers. The Lakers won that game outright as an 8.5-point underdog. Can they cover tonight, laying 7.5 at home against the Dubs?
Well, I mean, they're playing great now, right? 6 of the last 8, and including a 7-game road trip that they had to make it through there. It's been great. They got Doncic on the bench. It motivated them to trash the Clippers the other night. Now they have a Golden State team at home. Golden State's on the road, but they're also on a travel spot. It's the second of a back-to-back. They played in Utah last night, lost, and now they've got to come into to take on a Lakers team that's going to have Doncic on the bench. The home crowd is going to be crazy. This is, rest advantage towards the Lakers here, but don't slip. To me, until the Lakers can figure some things out, I'm looking at overs in all their games. And the fact that Golden State, who just played to an over last night in Utah, if they're going to keep this thing and not get blown out, they're going to have to score. I would anticipate nothing but overs at this point in this game.
Nearly 260 points scored last night in Salt Lake. And don't think the Warriors lost as a 6.5-point road favorite against Utah, because Stephen Curry wasn't out there or Draymond Green wasn't out there. Sure, it might have been an uneasy time trying to figure out their rotations, knowing a blockbuster deal was about to come through. They lost the second worst team in the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz, who picked up their 5th home win last night in a total around 222, skying to the over. I think the Lakers are the right side. We should see basically everybody out there except the new acquisitions. No Luka Doncic or Mark Williams just yet for L.A. Not going to see Jimmy Butler make his Golden State debut tonight. Elsewhere around the association, we stay in Los Angeles, but in the Intuit Dome, the Clippers host the Pacers. 5.5-point spread in favor of L.A. 228.5 is that total. Was not the case for the Clips hosting the Lakers a couple of nights ago, but still a really good cover team as a favorite, Joe. 16-9 against the spread this year.
Yeah, man, take that game with a grain of salt. I mean, the Clippers had just returned home from a long road trip. They looked all out of sorts. The Lakers were all pumped up because of the Doncic news. But this is also the third road game in four nights for Indiana. They were lucky to win Monday at Utah. They got absolutely smoked in Portland on Tuesday. And don't forget, guess who they got coming up on Saturday in the primetime game? That would be Luka Doncic and the Lakers here. So I think it's fair to say I would look to back the Clippers in a good bounce back spot here to get it done against Indiana.
And we have one more game to break down for you. That is in Minneapolis. We'll talk about it really on the other side of the break as we give you some best bets. But the T-Wolves, after a near 50-piece last night out of Anthony Davis, remain at home hosting the Houston Rockets. Again, the Rockets have dropped four straight. Started last week in the second spot in the Western Conference standings. They have fallen 2.5 games behind the Grizzlies in that 2-3 split out west. More NBA bets, some college basketball look, all of that up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Six games around the association on this critical Thursday in the NBA. It is trade deadline day. That deadline coming your way in just over 4 hours' time at 3 p.m. Eastern. Joe, the Minnesota Timberwolves at home tonight as an ever so slight underdog against the Houston Rockets. Again, last week, the Rockets were the second best team in the NBA's Western Conference, second best record. They have dropped four in a row. They have fallen 2.5 games behind the surging Memphis Grizzlies. Minnesota played in the Western Conference Finals a season ago. Big night last night for Anthony Edwards. Nearly 50 points, and the T-Wolves beat the Bulls handily by 19. Second leg of a back-to-back at home for Minnesota, and they're a slight dog against the Rockets. That would question who is out there tonight for the T-Wolves.
Yeah, no, there of course some questions there, and the Rockets kind of going through it. Some of the growing pains. No Fred VanVleet once again here tonight after hurting his ankle a couple of games ago against the Nets, and really the kind of glue that had them rolling so far this season, Ben. But you know, they've had a chance now to lick their wounds a little bit. Not going to be an easy game, but I do trust Houston in order to be able to get one here. Also, Houston, don't sleep on the defense and their defensive ability to slow down this Timberwolves team. Minnesota still got to win on defense. Udoka wants the Rockets to play defense here. The under looks pretty good to me in this one.
Yeah, and right now we are seeing points props listed for the Ant-Man. The T-Wolves should be at relatively full strength, and they're catching a point and a half at home. Yes, it is the second leg of a back-to-back, but they have been at home. The Rockets continue this road trip they are on that has not been an easy one. Close loss to the Knicks earlier this week. Tuesday in Brooklyn, they led late in the final 10 seconds. The Nets rallied out of nowhere to knock off the Rockets by two. Alperen Şengün now back for Houston. Not a good sign. This seems to be a very strong Rockets line, and maybe the Rockets dictating tempo to keep us under this number. Joe, a couple of other looks tonight. The Nuggets, 7.5-point home favorite against the Magic. In the Trailblazers, who have won five straight games and covered in 10 in a row, are at home. But as a favorite against the Sacramento Kings. I'll talk about that game in just a moment as both Joe and I give you a best bet on this Thursday. Before we round out the show, it's time for Bye Bye Bye. All right, Ranieri, deadline day in the NBA. Still a ton of West Coast college basketball action on this Thursday. What piques your interest the most?
Well, tonight in college basketball, Ben, we're going to go off the beaten path a little bit and head over to the CAA, and I am going to take the Campbell and the Camels, who have covered five straight, four of those games by 20 or more points. They're 8-2 against the number in conference play. They're 4-1 against the number at home in conference. They've covered five of their last six coming off of a game on a weekend, and they've got revenge on this Elon team who they just lost to earlier last month. So I do think if it ain't broke and not fixing, Campbell is shooting lights out. They're playing great defense. This is a small number. I think we got a ton of value back in Campbell tonight against Elon.
Look at the Camels. Let's get it done in some CAA action. My college basketball best bet for the night, Omaha, Nebraska. Nebraska, Omaha. Ooh. The Mavs playing great basketball this year, still holding pace atop the Summit League. And they play at a fast pace. They're a 5.5-point favorite against North Dakota tonight, who also plays at a fast pace. Give me the over, 158.5. And if you want to lay it with the Mavs, I don't get mad at you for that either. Keep an eye on St. Mary's, 6.5-point road favorite against San Francisco. The Dons, though, pretty good. The Gales unbeaten on the road this year, a perfect 6-0 straight up. I mentioned the Kings visiting the Blazers. Zach LaVine's out there, about to play in a second game for Sacramento. DeMar DeRozan's out there. DeMontis Sabonis is out there. The Blazers have been a great story. Often a dog this year and a great cover team. They've covered in 10 in a row. They've won 5 straight. But now they're a favorite. They're 1-3 against the spread this year as a favorite, not covering by an average margin of nearly 14 points per game. They've lost twice as a favorite. In those two losses, straight up by 28 points at least. And the Kings are a slight dog. Kings, even money, plus 100 on that money line. Our final Football Friday of the year, tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.